Welcome to Hot Spots on the United America Network. From the shifting landscapes of politics and culture to the urgent challenges facing our planet and our communities, this is where the conversations that matter most come alive. With her experience as a journalist, legislator, and activist, Kay Brown brings sharp insight, uplifting perspective, and unflinching courage to the issues shaping our future. Get ready for candid conversations, bold ideas, and the pushback our times demand. Now, here's Kay.
Hello. I'm glad you're here. It's been another tumultuous week, and in spite of all that's going on around us, I hope you're able to cope with the craziness and cruelty and maintain sanity and optimism. I'm Kay Brown, your host of Hot Spots, where we'll be discussing the unfolding political debacle from our spectacular location in Riverside County, California. One of the good things that happened this week was Jimmy Kimmel got back on the air after massive public pushback, which should give us all optimism and hope that demonstrates large numbers of people can be mobilized to protect our free speech rights and our other rights that are under attack and under threat. And Trump really made some missteps and miscalculations in trying to use this tragedy, this tragic killing of Charlie Kirk, to censor people that disagree with him. And in the process, he managed to come off a sore loser and provoke the ire of the American people who feel that our speech rights are under attack. Good news, boycotts do have an effect. Trump may not care, but advertisers and people who run these companies certainly do. It was reported Disney stock lost billions in market value in a matter of days before they relented and brought Kimmel back. And the other stations that had refused to air him put him back on the air after consumer boycotts were initiated against those advertisers of Sinclair Broadcasting and Nexstar. So some good news there. There were also a lot of things that just made me really feel outrage and anger that happened this last few days, not to mention Trump declaring all of his opponents to be people he hates. And I thought that was, talk about hate speech, let's bring it on for that. And then celebrating the indictment of former FBI Director James Comey and threatening more political prosecutions. And of course, he can't keep his mouth shut, so he is continuing to pile up evidence that the Comey indictment will not make it very far and is illegal selective prosecution. And that's true also of these other people he continues to denigrate as political opponents and threats. He doubled down on a bunch of tariffs, pharmaceutical drugs, kitchen and bathroom cabinets, upholstered furniture, heavy trucks, in response to an economy that continues to slow down and consumer concern that continues to rise as prices go up in response to these tariffs that Trump is imposing on the economy. And then there was that display at the White House, again became a dispensary of dubious medical advice, linking Tylenol to autism without credible evidence, and telling pregnant women they just need to toughen up. Scientists were reported to be dismayed and OBGYN docs apoplectic at this advice. And some people no doubt are listening to Trump and taking his uninformed, ill advice, and hopefully that won't cause medical issues and problems for them. He also squandered America's goodwill with our allies in a disgraceful, some say deranged, speech at the United Nations. So it's been quite the week, and one through line connecting all of these things is Christian nationalism, which we're going to get into a little bit today with my guest, Michelle Singleton. I'm so pleased that you're here. Thank you for coming, Michelle.
Thank you.
Michelle is an officer with the Riverside County Democratic Party. She's the political action chair, and she's also involved with the party's regional effort here in Riverside County to pass Proposition 50. We'll come back to Proposition 50, which, by the way, is a bit of a referendum on Trump and on all these policies that we're experiencing. So if you agree or don't agree, let's put it this way. If you'd like to see a change in the way things are going, you need to show up and vote yes on Prop 50. And we'll get into that a little bit more in a minute about how important that is in the future of our state and our nation that we pass that proposition. We're going to be looking at the egregious effects that Christian nationalism is having on people's lives. It's not only a gross distortion of the Christian faith, but it's a clear and present danger to our constitutional democracy. A through line that connects the authoritarian takeover of our government and the unrelenting assaults on free speech, the rule of law, our health, and our personal freedoms. We've been exploring how this insidious movement is impacting our government's policy and processes at all levels, from the White House to the Cabinet to the Congress to state legislatures and city councils and school boards. And today we'll take a little look at the California governor's race and the actions of gubernatorial candidate Chad Bianco, Riverside County Sheriff, and also look at some other ways that Christian nationalism is showing up right here in Riverside County. And finally, we'll discuss the importance of passing Proposition 50. So, Michelle, as we're looking at how Christian nationalism is affecting public policy, you've been following the California governor's race. I wanted to ask you about your observations of Chad Bianco. Who is he and why is he running for governor of California?
Hi, and thank you for having me. Yes, I've been following this election and just a lot of the Christian nationalism movement as it pertains a lot to our school boards and public education at large. And that's where Chad Bianco fits into that picture. He's been closely aligned with a lot of the activist groups that have deep ties to Christian nationalism and a lot of the financial backing behind those movements, as well as the voucher movement and some charter schools, I'm not going to say all, but some charter school movements that feed right into this type of ideology.
So I understand he has expressed strong faith-based positions and beliefs and aggressive approaches to promoting Christian nationalism, although apparently he doesn't call it that or necessarily identify as a Christian nationalist, but his policies clearly fit within this movement. He's associated with Pastor Tim Thompson of 412 Church in Temecula. And they established the Inland Empire Family Political Action Committee that endorsed conservative candidates in a number of races, school boards. And can you talk about that group and that situation and what they're up to?
Yeah, so they've been pretty active in the western part of Riverside County for a couple years now and have successfully been able to get some school board members elected. And we've seen that have devastating effects on our students and our schools, our teachers, and even just collectively our communities. So the Inland Empire Family PAC is funded in part by Mr. Chad Bianco. He is one of their donors and shows up frequently to their events. He's often on Tim Thompson's own podcast that can be quite nauseating in its content, but he's a frequent guest there. Any of the fundraisers that they hold, Chad Bianco is often front and center at those as well. And so what this machine essentially has been able to do has really divided a lot of our communities, putting out false information about what's happening in schools, about public education, about teachers. And it's just created these horrific tensions and lack of focus and, frankly, funding on schools and children's education. So, for instance, with some of the extreme board members that have been elected through this PAC and in their endorsement, Murrieta School District was one of, I believe, only three school districts in all of Riverside County last year that the board members collectively decided to not put a measure on the ballot for school funding. Last year, California had Proposition 2 on the ballot, which basically said that if any local school boards had a local measure to do a slight increase in property taxes to fund schools, the state would come in and match that. So it's almost like free money from the state to help with public education and infrastructure. And like I said, Marietta was one of, I think, just three school districts that didn't even give the voters the option to vote for funding for school infrastructure. So I think now they're having to go through all kinds of movement of students to different schools. They're facing overcrowding because they didn't even put that on the ballot, where neighboring communities that did pass that measure are now having the funding coming through to build new schools. Latest and up-to-date infrastructure for our students in the 21st century. So even just basic things like that, it's hampering. But the culture wars that have come out of this are just horrific. School board meetings are now having to have a police presence. In one case in Temecula, a gun was brought to a board meeting. Full-grown adults going after students that are speaking for their rights and on their behalf at board meetings. It has just turned into a complete just, I don't even know what to even call it, but a mockery of what school board meetings should be about, right? Which is about our kids. And this is all part of a broader movement that we're seeing across the nation right now of the Christian nationalists focusing in and honing in on school boards and getting people elected that really ultimately want to dismantle public education.
And why do they want to do that? What's wrong with public education? Why do they favor private education?
Private education, they don't have to follow things like state standards. They don't and push Christian or their version of Christianity on students. They can be selective in the history that is being taught. But really, this movement comes out of the time period after Brown v. Board of Education was secured by the Supreme Court. And ever since a desegregation of schools has been in place, this has been a movement to resegregate and to push curriculum and ideology that's not based on science, it's not based on fact or academia, but is based on personal partisan ideology instead.
So is this movement continuing to gain credibility and strength?
Yes, it's the latest attack has been on transgendered athletes in schools, and we're seeing this across the nation. But right here in Riverside County, IE Family Pack, Tim Thompson, Chad Bianco are also associated with a law firm called the Advocates for Faith and Freedom. They've been at this a long time. They wanted a Supreme Court case on some of their ideology for a while now. I've been working for it. And so they have recently latched on. Both the Temecula and Marietta Unified School Districts have joined an amicus brief with West Virginia on a case going to the Supreme Court about transgender athletes and participation. And as we see it in those school districts, and our one or two logically based, fact-based school board members have brought up repeatedly, Temecula Unified School District does not have a single transgendered athlete. Marietta Unified Valley School District does not have a single transgender athlete. Yet we are joining, those two districts are now joining a Supreme Court case about this very issue. It's not stopping. It's gaining momentum. And now we're going to see our poor school boards and school districts brought before the Supreme Court.
Are transgender bathrooms an issue?
Yes, they've brought that up too. And this is what brings so much cultural divide and community divide, is they put out all of this information that's not accurate about what's happening. And the public latches onto it and thinks that things are happening that are not.
It's really so distressing for transgender youth to be put in that position, to be political footballs tossed around and have their own rights under constant attack and be singled out and have all these things. It's just a very distressing situation, I'm sure, for them and for those families.
And it's broader than absolutely for our transgender students. You have some high schools now that are forfeiting games because they don't want to play against a school that has a transgender athlete. So all of that is absolutely horrific. But then it's also, schools do have gender neutral bathrooms. And as a former high school teacher of 16 years, transgender students and just all students really like the privacy of their own stall and bathroom. So it serves a greater purpose, but it's been twisted and tainted to be this just some kind of stain on society when it's really, it helps all students and it's not the issue that they're making it out to be at all. So yeah, it's incredibly unfortunate and it's just part of the bigger narrative that we see in Project 2025. It's part of the bigger narrative to keep people divided, because as long as we're divided, then we're not unifying on things like a boycott to bring change, right? And that part of it's just incredibly unfortunate.
Thank you for the work that you're doing to try to expose and reform and change those policies. I'm sure it's very challenging. Let's talk a little bit about Proposition 50. What is that exactly?
Okay, so yeah, Proposition 50 is a response to a crisis that we're in, first and foremost, is how I would explain it. With the President of the United States using his power to compel another state, in this situation it was Texas, to rig their seats and order to rig next year's midterm elections so that there would be the ability to maintain Republican power in the House of Representatives and therefore Congress. This is a constitutional crisis, right? That is not what our Constitution says about how representation works, how redistricting works. And so to use executive power to demand something, and then for a governor and the legislative body to just capitulate and go along with it without any voter input. I mean, there's no representation at all, which is completely antithetical to our Constitution. So with that taking place, California has stepped up, as we often do. So proud to be a Californian. But California is stepping up and saying, no, we're not going to just sit by and watch you rig next year's election. We are going to respond because we're in an emergency. This is a crisis. And our governor and some of our state legislators put together some emergency maps. And that's what they're called. They're emergency congressional maps, right? So they are still very fair and proportional. They're keeping communities together. All of the typical things that go into the thoughtfulness in redistricting were put into these emergency maps. And unlike Texas, they're now saying, California voters, we are in a crisis. We are in an emergency. Texas is going to pick up 5 Republican seats, which is going to help, if not guarantee, Republicans maintain control of the House. We need to respond to this emergency and pick up 5 matching Democratic seats. We could pick up more in California. We have the population, right? We could do it. But again, keeping it fair. We want fair elections next year. We don't want politicians picking their voters. We want voters picking the politicians, right? And California is responding by saying, California voters, we're bringing this emergency response to you November 4th. Right, through Proposition 50, as a way we can respond to the rigging of the election that Trump and the Republicans in Texas are trying to implement. So that's what the proposition's collectively about. It is an emergency response. It is temporary. It is just to match this moment in time that we are in with our Constitution and, quite frankly, our democracy at stake. It is a response. And in my conversations with folks, I often bring up, it would almost be neglectful of us to not respond to a crisis and to do nothing. And so this is that emergency response. We're going to hopefully, and I have confidence that we will pass these emergency maps that will temporarily be in place so that we have a fair election next year. And with the just enormous unpopularity of this president and his administration and the implementation of Project 2025 that we see underway, last I read, we're about 46% complete of their project so far. People are not happy with this. And that's exactly why Trump and his administration asked Texas to do this, is because they know they're not going to win next year. The American public's not going to have it. And so by California voters passing this proposition in November, we can have fair elections. And at a fair elections, I am confident Democrats will regain the House of Representatives, and we have a check on the Trump administration for its final 2 years.
And we really need that. We desperately Absolutely. Need that to stop this slide that we're in, yeah. or we're already there, perhaps.
Yeah. Yes.
And this is, it's the first step in turning things around. Is and it's a special election, right? It's the only thing on the ballot?
Yes, it's the only thing on the ballot. It's a very simple, you're either bubbling yes or you're not.
And so this is a vote yes.
A yes. So you just bubbling in yes.
And being fairly new to California myself, I'm still learning about the rules and was very pleased to learn that you have mail-in voting for everyone and that the ballots are automatically mailed to all the registered voters. And it's a fairly easy thing to do. You don't have to go anywhere at any particular time. You just at your leisure sit down, fill it out. Do you have to put a stamp on it?
You don't even have to put a stamp on it.
And take it to a mailbox. And are there also drop boxes?
Yep, there'll be drop boxes throughout the county. And you don't, I know in the part of Riverside County I live in, we're definitely commuters driving all over. So you can drop off your ballot at any drop box in the county. So if you're taking your ballot to work, you can drop it off, even if it's in a different city and not necessarily your specific polling site.
And where can you find a list of where those drop boxes are?
All counties have a registrar of voters. And their websites are incredibly comprehensive, and they have just an entire breakdown of where all of those vote centers and where all the ballot drop-off boxes are located. I know specifically for Riverside County, our registrar even has this really cool map where you can plug in your address, and it shows you where your closest ballot drop-off and then vote center is located, along with hours, a phone number to call with questions, all kinds
and
of
just helpful. And the vote centers are open what day? Just Tuesday?
Oh, no. Vote centers will start to be open about a week after ballots go out. So some people still want to vote in person, or maybe they don't receive a ballot. That's another big concern. If you don't receive your ballot by mail, you'll need to go to a vote center and you can request a provisional ballot. But the vote centers will be open at least 2 weeks before the actual election date, if not earlier.
And the actual election date is
November 4th. Yeah.
So. And what do I Google to find the Riverside County registrar?
VoteInfo.net.
Okay. VoteInfo.net.
Yep.
If you have any questions or need information, and this election is just so crucial. We've got to turn people out. And that's a concern because it's come up fairly recently. It's not a regular thing. It's a special thing. And not everybody's aware because we're kind of news junkies plugged in, living it, breathing it, thinking about it all the time and hearing a lot of conversation about it. But we know a lot of people have just tuned out, I think, because in response to the avalanche of bad news and assaults, and just you hear this frequently, oh, it's just become too much. I just can't take it anymore. I'm turning it off. And so in the process of doing that, people may be missing out on this opportunity, even though they know we're in a crisis, they know there's a problem. And so this is really a referendum on the current state of affairs. And if you want to change things, you need to be sure to vote yes on Prop 50.
Absolutely. And any issue that people are experiencing right now, prices have not come down. They've gone up. So if we want to check on high prices, you need to vote yes on Prop 50. All right. People are losing access to health care. So if you're concerned about that, you need to vote yes on Prop 50. Just anything you can think of right now that we're going through individually or collectively as a community or nation, yes on Prop 50 is how we begin to turn the tide and make a difference.
if you're concerned about your loved ones being whisked away without due process, this is an opportunity to make a stand on that. There's so many things. It's just, we can sit here for a while and articulate them all, but we're going to have to cut it off for today. I hope you'll join us for Hotspots again next week on United America Network. Getting out of this mess takes a movement, and we're helping build that movement, and we hope you'll join us in advancing that movement on United America Network. This is what democracy sounds and looks like.
You've been listening to Hotspots with Kay Brown, where tough issues meet thoughtful conversation. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and join us again as we spotlight the struggles, solutions, and stories that fuel resilience and change. Until next time, keep your fire burning. Hotspots is a production of the United America Network and is available on most major podcast platforms, as well as from unitedamericanetwork.com. This is what democracy sounds and looks like.